Today's scripture comes from Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You know, could there be anything more glorious than to be here on a Christmas day and have this chance to worship God? And God is the one who took on flesh and came to dwell among us. So he is certainly worthy of worship. He is God with us. And if you really comprehend that, if you really understand who he is, then all you can do is worship him. Because it's really what you believe, and so it's what you do. You know, many of you know that there is a sign both in my office here at the church and over at the house, and it says, "What I believe about God will determine what I do." And isn't that true? You know, if we really recognize and understand that God is Lord God Almighty, then we have to worship him, because God is worthy of our worship. So we have to give him all of our worship. And we're going to be looking at scripture today that talks about worship. And Billy Paul's just read us from the second chapter of Matthew. And in it, over and over, it talks about worship. In the second verse, it ends by saying that they've come to worship him. Then in the eighth verse, it says, "So that I too may go and worship him." Then in the 11th verse, it says that they bowed down and worshiped him. And so we recognize over and over that it's pointing out about worshiping Jesus. And so that's really what I want you to get a hold of today, is recognizing who we're worshiping and to really sincerely take a look at the way that you worship and see if it's worthy of what God deserves. You know, first I want us just to kind of look overall at the Christmas story. And I'll just kind of point out that we kind of have this Christmas story, and I think it's kind of a Christmas card, Christmas carol, Christmas story. Because it's kind of how it's all kind of shaped. You know, it's what's pretty on the Christmas card. It's the words that fit with the rhyme and the tune for the Christmas carol. And so we've all kind of grown up with this story, and we think we know it. And we think we know it well, but unfortunately, in that story, we may not have all the facts. Yeah, because sometimes we read over Scripture and we just kind of skip over some things. We don't pay attention to them, so we haven't included them in the story. And there's other times that we've inserted our own assumptions and kind of made up little things to go with the story. And so sometimes it gets difficult understanding what is really the true story and what is kind of what we've fashioned into the story. And believe me, we all do it. You know, even as a pastor and even knowing, you know, differently, you know, I include some of the stuff just because it's easier to say, oh yeah, that's how it was, just because that's the story we're kind of used to. But sometimes it helps to really stop and look at it and get a better understanding, because some of this is so deep and rich. You know, and we do things like we have a nativity scene out in the narthex, and it's beautiful. You know, but we also put pictures on the front of the bulletin, and they look great, but they may not really all be factual. You know, like we're going to study today about the wise men coming to worship, and we know that that's from the Gospel of Matthew, and it, from the Gospel of Luke, we hear about the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born coming to worship. And so in most of our nativity scenes, we put the shepherds and the wise men both there. But actually, the wise men didn't show up for a couple years. And they came and they saw Jesus as a child in a house. But, you know, we have all these figures and they came with the set. And it's kind of fun having everybody there. And so that's just kind of how we do it. You know, we know the Bible says that Jesus was placed in a manger, which is a feeding trough. And so we just naturally assume, well, our feeding trough would be in a barn, so he must have been born in a stable. But we don't always recognize what their culture would have been. And if you only had a few animals and, you know, he only had a small house, instead of leaving them outside, they might have been in your house. You know, there are certain things that we just make assumptions about. You know, on the front of the bulletin, I picked out this picture. There are three wise men riding on camels. You know, we say three wise men. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about camels, but we say three wise men because there were three gifts. And so we say, well, there's got to be at least three. But yet, if you really thought about it, and if you really go back and study about how people would travel, it would be more like a caravan. It would probably be about 300 wise men, because this was such a huge issue. And so there's little things like that that we kind of miss out. And I'm not going to try to go into a lot of detail today, but I want to point out some of these things to you just because I want you to really understand a deeper meaning. And the main thing I want you to understand is about worship, who you're worshiping, and looking at how we worship. And we're going to be looking at three types of worshipers today. We're going to be looking at the Magi, or the wise men. And the wise men are authentic worshipers. We're going to be looking at the priests, or the teachers of the law, and they're negligent worshipers. And then finally, we'll be looking at Herod. And Herod is an insincere and even to the point of an evil worshiper. So we're going to be glancing at some of these things just to get a better understanding. But let me just kind of go back to the first of chapter 2 where we started. And a lot of times we read things and we think we understand what it's telling us, but sometimes it's a deeper meaning. It starts out with that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that it was during the time of King Herod. And so we just say, okay, you just gave me a place and time. When actually, that tells us so much more than just that. Because if you really study the history, if you really knew about King Herod, you would know more to this story. Because King Herod was appointed by Rome to be the king over the Jews, but he was not Jewish. And so he knew he was not Jewish and that he really shouldn't be there. And he was insecure and paranoid. And so even to the point that he executed a lot of people, including his wife and family members, just because he was worried about his throne. And so there's kind of this darkness over this area because of this ruler. And so in the next verse, when the Magi show up and they start asking questions and they say, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Now, the rightful king. And they start saying that we saw his star, not a star, but we saw his star in the east. Then that starts making Herod pretty disturbed. And that's what it says in here, that he was disturbed and those around him. And they're disturbed because if Herod's disturbed and seeing how Herod acts when he gets nervous, they're pretty nervous. And plus, they just had this influx of foreigners coming into their city. And so they're pretty nervous about that too. And since Herod is not really Jewish and he's really not studied the scriptures, he doesn't have anywhere near the knowledge that these wise men, these learned men have about the scriptures, or what the chief priests and teachers would know about the scriptures. I mean, the wise men, they haven't just studied the stars. They've studied scripture. They've studied prophecies. That's how they knew when those stars moved and when they saw his star, what it meant. You know, there's lots of prophecies in the Old Testament, but just to point out one of them that we don't always associate with the Christmas story, but in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, it was a prophecy by Balaam that says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter, which is what a king would hold, will rise out of Israel. So they knew their scripture. And the same thing for these priests and these teachers of the law. You know, as soon as Herod asked, you know, where would the Messiah be born, they didn't have to go look. They could know off the top of their head, oh yeah, in Bethlehem. You know, they knew that from Micah's prophecy 500 years before. And so in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, they knew that it was in Bethlehem. So there's things that they knew that made a difference that Herod didn't know about. But I want us to look at the wise men, because the wise men had really studied this. And the moment they saw that star, then they started traveling, because they knew what a huge thing this was. They knew that this was the king. They knew that he was God. And the most important thing in their life was to travel and to go and find him and to be in front of him. And it took them at least a year and probably 2 years to get there. But it was that important that they had to get there. And so we call them authentic worshipers, because it didn't matter what it was going to take. They were going to come before Jesus. And it says in Scripture that on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And I know our Scripture says bowed down, but actually our middle stained glass over here is closer to the Greek. The Greek really says they fell down and worshipped him. You know, if you were literally in the presence of God, you wouldn't just be bowing. You would be falling on your face. And that's exactly what they did. They were authentic worshipers, and they fell on their face before Jesus. And these wise men were also incredible stewards and had a great understanding of what it meant to be a steward and to give a gift. You know, they didn't just reach in their pocket and find out if they had a little change that they were going to toss in. And they didn't re-gift a gift that they'd been given. They came prepared, and they brought the appropriate gift. You know, just like Connie was kind of talking about, appropriate gift for a baby. But they brought the appropriate gift for who Jesus really is. And it shows that they knew who he really is, as they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And gold was a gift for the king, not a king, but the king of kings. Frankincense, according to Leviticus 2, verse 2, says that it is the incense that pleased God. It was something that was for divinity, for God. And so they recognize that He is God. And finally, myrrh is for embalming. Because even though He's fully divine, He's also fully human. And they know He will die, and that's part of His identity as well. And so they gave Him that gift as well. You know, these wise men really grasped who Jesus is. And so they traveled that distance for one or two years to get there. They fell down before Him, and they were authentic worshipers. Are you an authentic worshiper? You know, and you think about it. They traveled for one or two years to get there. Think about those priests and teachers of the law. Do you realize they were 5 miles from Bethlehem? Bethlehem is just right outside of Jerusalem. And they certainly knew the scripture. You know, they could have gone over there at any point to worship Jesus, to look for the Messiah. You know, they knew the scriptures. They knew it so well. They had it all memorized. And yet that's all they did was just, you know, look at that. And maybe it's part, you know, maybe we can say, well, their expectation was He would be a king or a conqueror or something else. They were looking for something else in a Messiah. But they never really sought God to give them more information so that they could find the Messiah. And so we're going to call them negligent worshipers because they were negligent of really studying more. And they had the book knowledge, but that was all they were seeking, was just the book knowledge, where the wise men sought the person. Do you see the difference? There's a difference in just knowledge and searching and worshiping the person. I mean, if you're sick, do you want a medical book or would you rather have a doctor? If you're in legal trouble, do you want a law book or do you want a lawyer? And the Bible is wonderful, and it's God's Word, and it helps us to know who He is and describes His character. But it's never intended just for us just to have knowledge. We're supposed to use the Bible so that we can come to know the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. And so those priests and teachers of the law were negligent. But you can also say it was inconvenient for them to do more. You know, they'd have to get away from the comfort of just studying the scripture. They'd have to put out some effort to really seek God and know more. And so they did what was convenient for them. And Lord, forgive us if our worship is just what's convenient for us. And finally, Herod. Herod in verse 8 says, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Sounds very sincere, doesn't it? He was lying. He is an insincere worshiper. Because he has no desire to come and find the king and to bow down before him and worship him. There's no way that Herod is going to submit himself to that. He considers himself over and above. And so he is insincere in having that desire to worship. And so he's not about to bow down before him. And it's even further than that. It's not just being an insincere worshiper and being insincere about wanting to go see the baby. But it's also to the point for him that it's evil. Because he really is planning on killing the baby. Because he had asked the wise men the exact time of when they saw the star. And he has plans on, you know, finding out where this child is and killing him. And we see later in Scripture that is exactly what he did, that he went to Bethlehem and that vicinity and killed all the baby boys 2 years and younger, because he knew that was when Jesus had been born. So we see that Herod is an insincere and evil worshiper. You know, true worship is when you recognize who you are really worshiping and you give everything you have to worship them. All right, I'm going to wipe out one of the other myths of Christmas time. You know the song about the little drummer boy? Did you know there really was not a little drummer boy when Jesus was born? But it's okay. You know, we need to keep those songs, and that's part of our Christmas. And you know what? That really is a really good Christmas carol. Because if you think about that, that little drummer boy that came before baby Jesus, he recognized who he was worshiping. And he not only recognized who he was worshiping, but he wanted to give everything to worship that baby. And he realized all he had was his drum. And he said, "So I'll play my drum for you." And so he gave everything he had to worship Jesus. And that's what it means to be authentic worshiper, to recognize who and to give your all. And that's what I want to close with today. It's just, first, we need to know who Jesus really is, that he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he is God with us, he is worthy of our worship. And so we need to give everything we have to worship him. We don't need to be negligent about worshiping him or just doing it when it's convenient and it fits into our schedule and fits into what we're doing. And we certainly don't want to be insincere in how we worship him. But we want to give him our all. We want our eyes open where we recognize who Jesus really is. And then we want to be authentic worshipers where we give him everything. Because he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he deserves to be worshipped. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Lord, open our eyes that we might really see you and give you our very best to honor you and worship you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.